And as I think you all know, once again, our subject is that final link in the cycle of dependent origination of birth, aging, and death, which, as Tweri mentioned last week, is also, you know, followed by this kind of transition and birth once again in our conditioned realm. And so those of you who were here last week know that Tweri gave a really great talk to get us going in exploring this link of the cycle. And so I'm going to continue looking at it today since it's a really rich link with a lot to consider. And of the links of dependent origination, I feel like this is one of the most sobering because it reminds us that endings really do happen. And that for every birth, there's a corresponding death. Even for us, which is not always an easy thing to come to terms with. So it's a really important link to work with, but also a difficult one. And so as we begin here, I just like to acknowledge that fact that it is often a difficult topic. And so we need to go gently and really respect the times when, you know, the topic feels like it's a bit too much for us, you know. And one of the things that has helped me a lot in getting in touch with this link is in a way that feels a little less overwhelming and daunting and frightening and more natural is to consider the cycles of beginning and ending and birth and death as they occur in nature. And this is just really the perfect season to do that because this season of autumn, it just really naturally reminds us of endings. All of the plants in our garden are dying back. The trees are losing their leaves. The days are getting shorter. Darkness is closing in. And so we're reminded very naturally of this ending of things in this time of dormancy. So even though it's a really beautiful season in many ways, it's also kind of a sad season. I found a poem by the Japanese monk and poet Saigyo that captures some of this. He says, "In a mountain village at autumn's end, that's where you learn what sadness means, in the blast of the wintry wind." So that just kind of captures that sense of sadness of the beauty of summer ending. And we can kind of feel that as we open to the seasonal change. Now, I know we often begin our talks with the story, and I love it when I can find a good story, but I wasn't able to find one to read today. But I did find a poem that I think really fits well with this topic of birth, aging, and death, and also with the season of autumn and the seasonal cycles of birth, aging, and death. And so instead of the story, I will read that. In fact, I found several poems, and so you'll hear more than one poem, I think, as we go through this. And some of you may be okay enough already with all these poems, but I found this one poem I want to read kind of for our starting point in our theme today. It's called Learning from Trees by Grace Butcher. If we could, like the trees, practice dying, do it every year, just as something we do, like going on vacation or celebrating birthdays, it would become as easy a part of us as our hair or our clothing. Someone would show us how to lie down and fade away, as if in the deepest meditation, and we would learn about the fine, dark emptiness, both knowing it and not knowing it. And coming back would be irrelevant. Whatever it is that trees know when they stand undone, surprisingly intricate, we need to know also, so we can allow that last thing to happen to us as if it were only an ordinary thing. Leaves and lives falling away. The spirit complex waiting in the fine darkness to learn which way it will go. So there's just a lot in that poem. It gives us a lot to think about when it comes to this cycle of birth and death. And one of the first things that comes to mind for me is that it really brings us face to face with just this fact of ending and death. It's right up there in the poem. And of course, a lot of the time we don't want to look at it, but in fact, there it is, whether we choose to acknowledge it or not. If there's a birth, it follows that inevitably there must be a death. And it's definitely this understanding is there when we consider the First Noble Truth, where the Buddha tells us, reminds us that all beings are subject to aging, sickness, and death. And he really encouraged us to reflect on that. And I think some of you know that in the Buddhist Essentials class, we talked about the four foundations of mindfulness. And the first of these is mindfulness of the body. And in his instructions on mindfulness of the body, in the sutta on the four foundations of mindfulness, the Buddha talked a lot about being mindful of different sensations in the body as we experience them. In the moment, in the present moment. But he also encouraged us to contemplate the fact that the body dies, and encouraged us also to consider the recollections. I am of the nature to grow old. There's no way to escape growing old. I am of the nature to have ill health. There's no way to escape having ill health. I am of the nature to die. There is no way to escape death. And all that is dear to me and everyone I love are of the nature to change. No way to escape being separated from them. So really recollecting and remembering that fact of endings and death. And it's something that's hard to be with. And I certainly don't wake up in the morning and do these recollections as it's recommended, and really we should. But even though it's difficult, it's something that it's wise for us to open to as best we can, but gently. And this is something the poem also suggests, to see if we can know this as the trees know it, as a natural thing, an ordinary thing. Another thing that came to my mind reading this poem was that we can also notice that for the trees, this act of dying isn't a final thing. It's a seasonal thing. Losing their leaves, going dormant, they do it every year. And this can remind us, too, that just like Lauren was pointing out, in her guided meditation, that there are cycles of births and deaths, beginnings and endings for us within the larger context of our physical life and death of this body. So in our own lives, we go through stages, through seasons. And I'm sure you've all had that experience of looking at pictures of yourselves or maybe your relatives when you were babies or a small child, and looking at that picture and going, whoa, was that really me? Was that really him or her? Where did that cute little baby go? I mean, you know, what happened? And the truth is that cute little baby isn't there anymore. So, you know, when we move from childhood into adolescence, there's another whole new thing with all these wild changes with the body and, you know, I think when we go through that stage, we kind of don't even know what we are for a while there. And changes happen too when we move from the prime of our lives to old age, from being single to being married, parents with children, many transitions. And sometimes these transitions are really obvious and they're marked and celebrated, but sometimes they're so gradual we hardly even know that they're happening. But they do happen, you know. Something that once was ends. The person that we once were, in a sense, dies and isn't there anymore. And we also know that there's that uncomfortable transition that we go through when these changes happen, and a sense of a new beginning. Just as it is with the trees, in the fall and winter, coming back to life in a new way in the spring. And if we look carefully, we can also see that these births and deaths don't only occur when there are big changes in our lives, but all day, every day, moment by moment. And Lauren reminded us of this too in the guided meditation, you know, just as she was talking about, you know, the you who was sitting at the kitchen table this morning having your first cup of tea or first cup of coffee, you know, that experience is gone. It's just a memory now. So in a way, of course, there's some continuity. This same body is here and kind of the same mind stream. But that experience of you sitting there having that tea or coffee, gone. Gone. Same way that moment of experiencing the sensations of your breath during our sitting, hearing a bird song outside, that experience is gone, and that sense of you that was having that experience is gone. So being aware of this, you have a kind of a sense of how there is a birth and death in every moment. Like just as we talked about earlier in the year when we were going through the cycle of dependent origination, there's that contact, perception, identification, you know, the sense of, oh, this is me, seeing this thing, hearing this thing, thinking all this stuff about this thing, liking this thing, wanting this thing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then at some point, it all falls apart. And then the same process happens around some new thing that we feel or see or hear come into contact with. So over and over, there's this coming together, falling apart, coming together, falling apart. So this thing that we think of as ourselves isn't quite so solid and permanent as we might like to think it is. Much more changeable on many levels. And I've been finding it a really helpful practice to just see if I can have some sense of this as I go through my daily activities, you know, not trying to kind of hone in real closely and see it on the microscopic level or overthink it or figure it out, but, you know, just touching into that sense that that experience that was there in the morning when I got up, when I went for a walk, what I did an hour ago, 10 minutes ago, just realizing, you know, that's gone and it isn't here anymore. That me having that experience is gone. And what I'm seeing and feeling and thinking now, it's a different thing. And just allowing myself to just kind of feel the sort of uncomfortableness, maybe, the transience of all of that. The Japanese monk and poet Saigyo, again, I have a poem, another poem of his that sort of captures that kind of sense of transience and sadness. He says, all so vague. In the autumn, the reasons why all fall away. And there's just this inexplicable sadness. And so too, just in this feeling of our own moment to moment, birth and death, changing and passing away and becoming something else. We can know that not so much in reasons, but just in this feeling that it all falls away. And maybe too, that sense of inexplicable sadness and that kind of odd feeling of dislocation and transition and not quite knowing what comes next. And the poem about the tree points to this too, that time when leaves and lives fall away and the spirit waits to learn which way it will go. In this place of not knowing, that transition place of not knowing. So maybe as we begin to look at this and notice all of these small births and deaths, notice the beginnings and endings that take place every day, the stages and transitions we go through in our lives, we can begin to be more like the trees and have a sense that we actually are practicing dying just as something we do, and be more willing to be with and wait during that period of transition when we don't know what's coming next. But also, I mean, I know you know this isn't an easy or simple thing. And the period of ending is often frightening, painful, uncomfortable, even when what's ending is a very unpleasant thing. And we're glad to see it go. The period of transition is still often pretty uncomfortable because we're not quite sure of where we are or who we are or what's going to happen next. So even when it's moving towards hopefully something better, that there's that period of uncertainty. When I've been in meditation classes or on retreat, many times teachers have told me, try to notice the endings of things. Notice the endings of things. And I suspect that many of you have also had that same instruction and that same experience. And this sounds so simple, but I've always found that it actually really isn't very easy to do. My mind goes so automatically to beginnings, you know, that there's this breath and, oh, you know, there's a sound. And I notice the sound, but now there's this sensation in the body, and then a memory comes up. And so I see that things change for sure. Things are changing all the time. But I'm not really so aware that things end. And I think there's a reason for that. You know, as I reflect upon that, that I don't really want to see the endings. And I think that's common to all of us. We don't necessarily want to see the endings, and especially we don't want to see our own ending. We really want continuity, especially continuity of me, you know. We want to think that we're going to go on forever. The poet Yakimochi says, although here he's speaking not about life, but about a love affair, he says, we were together only a little while and we believed our love would last 1,000 years. How true, you know, and that's the way we think of ourselves so often too. It's so hard not to. We're here only a little while, but we think that we'll last 1,000 years. And I know I have that feeling, and I'm sure that many of you have that feeling, even if we know that isn't really true. And I think on some level, we really do know that it isn't true. Another poem, a quote from an anonymous poet says, autumn is done and winter is close at hand, they say. When I am left wanting more, the chrysanthemum scent grows thicker. And this chrysanthemum, among many things, represents autumn. It's the flower of autumn. And so by association, often it represents endings and death too. So that scent of the chrysanthemum, the scent of summer ending, life ending, even as we try to hold on so hard, we know that it really, truly, we can't. The scent of the chrysanthemum grows thicker. So, just considering all this, we can realize that it's a really big thing to work with this link of dependent origination. When we're working with this, we're really working with what's probably one of our greatest fears and our most persistent delusions, you know, the fear of death and the delusion that it won't happen to us and we'll never end. So it's a link that we can approach in many different ways, looking at all these different levels, seeing the changes in nature, recognizing its naturalness, and really remembering to go gently and realizing how important every step is in investigating this. So I'd like to have us end just sitting together for a few moments. And I have one more poem. An excerpt from the poem A Lover's Quarrel by Sam Hamill that I think sort of captures this kind of seasonal, mysterious, uncertain link that we are investigating this month. Each thing closely seen appears more strange than before. The shape of my desire is huge, vague, full of many things, commingling. Dying bees among dying flowers, winter rain and the smoke it brings. If it fills me with longing, it is only because we are wind and smoke, flower and bee. It is only because we are like the rain, falling. Falling through our own most secret being, through a world of not knowing. And now we have some time for small group discussion. For the groups, I'd like you to just talk a little bit. We've talked about some of the different ways to be aware of this final link in the cycle of dependent origination. You know, seeing it as something that happens over lifetimes, as something that happens moment to moment. So, seeing it in cycles of nature. So just take a little time to talk about how you're working with it or think you might want to work with it in your own practice, you know, over this month or in the coming weeks. And, you know, what is working for you? What do you want to try? And also if you're noticing places of resistance where you don't really want to look at it, you can talk about that too.
Lindo, can you, what is the title of the Sam Hamill poem that you read?
It's A Lover's Quarrel.
Thank you.
And I think that I can post the poems, if you would like that, in our materials that are associated with the Sunday sit. So you can have them if you want to. So we have a few minutes for any comments or questions that anybody has. You can just kind of wave your hand, or you can use your little blue hand, I guess, if you have anything you would like to say.
I will jump in, Linda. It's Susan. I can't show my video though because I'm breaking up. Sorry.
Okay. Good. Fine.
We're relating to the Thanksgiving. I don't want to say issue. Cultural aspect of family gathering at Thanksgiving and the gravity that it. It is experiencing as an event that cannot be shaken almost. That I see that the process of the, you know, beginning in that whole event of, you know, discussion with fans, you know, it's holding on to, that the shape of it and the refusal to see anything but, and then the loss
that's
not being addressed of to, and it disallows an acknowledgement of grief and the heart, really. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think talking about this link is especially poignant considering what we're going through with the pandemic and the way that things are getting worse now, and it really brings it close. Mm-hmm. So it does make it difficult, and then as you talked about, just having to face up to the reality with our celebrations and stuff. I know our family hasn't figured out quite what we're going to do, and I bet you guys are all going through the same thing, and there is a grief. So yeah, thanks for acknowledging that.
I wanted to say thank you, Lyndall, for the way you gave your talk. There was so much tenderness and gentleness in it. It wasn't just reminding us to be gentle, because this is just, it goes to just the heart of things, you know, and how, no matter how many years we practice, the reality of the being separate from everything we hold, everything and everyone we hold dear, that one's always harder for me than contemplating my own death. But, you know, no matter how long we practice that, the tender-hearted response to that reality is just going to be there. Yeah. I mean, it's not as if all of a sudden, you know, you're going to get, like, rise above it or something.
No.
it just is going to always be there. And you really communicated that. I felt, I teared up a lot in your talk.
Oh.
You know, just because, well, partly I shared in my group that a very dear friend has a very bad diagnosis, and I'm just ticked off about it, you know, and I know better to be ticked off, but that's like that, you know, it's like that screaming no kind of thing, and it's all there together, the knowledge of it, but the heart space that hurts. And anyway, I just really wanted to thank you for inviting us to contemplate this within that tenderness. And then one other thought is that given that I'm feeling so tender, it's a good reminder that probably everybody else is too. You know,
yeah.
So just to be a little easier on other people. Anyway, not for me.
Yeah, thank you so much, Suze. Yeah, it is a really tender place. And I really like what you said, you know, acknowledging that it isn't so much that we just get over all that. It's that we learn to be with it and accept even when the pain is there. Go ahead, please.
I'd like to say something. So I liked the leaf, the tree poem a lot. And I think, you know, COVID has reminded me constantly through dishes that we do this. So the ending of the cup of coffee and that thing ended. And now there's a dirty dish, there's a dirty mug, and remembering what it was like to have that lovely coffee that I was looking forward to, and then it ended. So in some ways, we get to do this constantly. I have infinite dishes, so it's like kind of trees dropping their leaves all the time. So I really appreciated the you know, call to just think back and not try and make sense of the endings that have happened every day. So thank you for that. I think it was good.
Yeah. Thank you. That's good. I found it a really good way to practice, to just remembering those things. And I'll let Lauren take over.
Okay. Well, first I would just like to say, remind you that we appreciate any Donna you might offer, and you can do that on Seattle Insight website under donations. Sim still is paying rent, so and they have to support the website and any visiting teachers who come, and our guiding teachers also they really appreciate the Dhamma also, the Donna, so I know you've been generous and just wanted to remind you of that. So if you could be quiet for a moment, get in a place of stillness. And this metta is a poem, and I picked it before I heard Lyndall's talk, but it's an offering, a blessing, and I feel that in being present to this particular link, we do need some blessing too, like Lyndall was saying, that we need to be gentle. And maybe it would be nice if there was a little mercy and grace in this link also. So I want you to imagine that you're a boat and that you're setting out on one of your many journeys that we take each day and over the course of our life. So you're leaving the solid ground of the harbor and setting sail. The Blessing of the Boats by Lucille Clifton. May the tide that is entering even now the lip of our understanding carry you out beyond the face of fear. May you kiss the wind and then turn from it, certain that it will love you back, love your back. May you open your eyes to water, water waving forever. And may you, in your innocence, sail through this to that. And may all beings have the same blessing.